Hey, grab your Bible, and you're going to have to stand up with me. We're going to take a little bit of a trip around the Scriptures. I want you to see something. So Ephesians chapter 6 first. Verse 21, Ephesians 6, 21. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he writes this, Ephesians 6, 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your heart. Then over to Colossians chapter 4. Verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 16, beginning in verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey wherever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he works the work of the Lord, as I also do. Father, we just ask that you would be here, that you would continue to open great doors of ministry for each one of us. You'd open doors for us as a congregation as well. So Father, as we discuss things and plans and stuff, I just pray that you would be blessed by us, that you'd be guiding us and leading this church, opening doors that no man can shut and shutting doors that no man can open. So we thank you for this time. We give it to you and we pray, Lord, that 2010, we'd find ourselves on the path of righteousness that you have for each one of us. So bless, guide, direct, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I read those verses because what you see with Paul is this. He wants people to know, hey, this is what we're about. I want to share with you my affairs, my plans, vision, direction. Now, why is that important? Well, Proverbs 29, verse 18 says this, without vision, the people perish. That word perish literally means they go in circles. You need to have a direction. You need to have a vision. You need to know where you're going in order to feel like, hey, yeah, I've got vision. This is what we're going to do, right on. I can get behind that. I can do this. So today what we're doing, this is, our New Year's message. It's the week, the Sunday before New Year's. So what we're going to do is just, it's like Paul in 1 Corinthians 16. This is what happened in 2009, kind of where we've been. And this is where we're headed in 2002. So it's a catch up, whatever you want to call it, a church chat, a family talk. So if you're here for the first time, this is not normally what we do. It's just kind of end of the year, starting a new year. This is the time to do it. Kind of the iron is hot, let's strike. So there's a number of things I'm going to discuss with you. I'm going to do it pretty quickly. So pay attention. If you have questions, ask one of the other pastors because I probably don't know the answer. Okay. The first topic is this. Let me introduce it like this. It's the only way I can. There's a saying. It's not in the Bible, but it's probably you could find good justification for it, but it's this. Man plans and God laughs. I don't find it funny either. Yeah. And I say that because the subject I'm going to introduce is this. Let me read for you one passage about just God doing what he wants to do. It's Luke chapter 2. It's the Christmas story. But here's what I want you to see in Luke chapter 2 about how God does what he wants. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, verse 3 is the key. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So part of the taxing was Caesar Augustus said, in order to tax you correctly, go back to where you were born. Verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So here's the setup. You've got Rome. Rome, probably the most dominant empire ever. We are still to this day affected by Rome, by what they did, that empire. So you've got the most powerful empire on earth. You have Caesar Augustus, who was the first Caesar, the first guy that was the main dude. Before that, it was a Senate that kind of had control. Caesar Augustus was the first guy that said, I am God, you listen to me. That's essentially what he said. He had a Messiah complex. So you've got the most powerful empire ever. You've got the first Caesar ever. And God does this. I've got Mary, and Mary's pregnant with Jesus, and they're in Nazareth, and I need to get him down to Bethlehem because Micah 5:2, 500 years before that, said that's where he's going to be born. So God said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man on earth, over the most powerful empire ever, tax people. Because most sane men will not travel when their wife is great with child, right? If they value life, they're not going to do that. So how am I going to do that? Well, it's going to have to be a law. There's going to have to be force that's going to push him to go down to Bethlehem so Jesus is born in the right place. So what you see in this little text is this. God uses Rome like Legos. Just boom, I'm going to put you here. God just does that. Ephesians 1:11 just says it this way. God works all things after the counsel of his will. He just does what he wants. We don't understand laws. We don't understand things at times. It's God doing what he wants. He works all things after the counsel of his will. I'm going to make the most powerful empire on earth, the most powerful man, make this dumb rule so that my son is born where he needs to be born. Incredible to me. So you have this thing. It's man plans, God laughs. He's going to do what he wants. So here, let me catch you up on something. Here's where Edgewater Christian Fellowship has been. We're going to talk about property. Now, if you're new here, here's my desire. Here would be my dream. That I could figure things out 100%, myself and the pastors and the elders, and we could pray it through, and we could have everything done 100%, and then we could present it to you and say, hey, here's what we're doing. That has not worked at Edgewater. Because we live in Grants Pass, where everybody's connected. And so this is what has literally happened to me. We've looked at property, or I've signed a letter of intent, or met with somebody, and like when I'm signing a paper, my cell phone will ring. Like, hello? Did you just buy some property? I'm like, what? Okay, you're making me paranoid here. So that has happened over and over. And so then in order to quell the rumors, I'll come up and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then a month later, I'm going to be like, that's not what we're going to do after all. Because man plans and God laughs. And it's humbling for me. So we're going to talk about property today. And here's where I'm pretty sure we're headed. All right? I'm pretty sure, but I'm not exactly sure because everything's changed to this point. So let me take you on the journey. If you're new here, let me take you kind of where we've been at. We looked at RCC, and we told RCC this a number of years ago, 3 years ago. We said we would like to come up with a 20-year plan with you where we use your facilities, we kind of invest in RCC, use the gym in the wintertime, and then use your Rogue Bowl in the summer. That didn't work. If you're around at that time, you know, that kind of fell through. That was my dream. Hey, that would be awesome. It didn't work because they're not sure about separation of church and state and all those kind of issues. We're like, hey, we'll deal with that. So then we went to Grants Pass High School. Said, we'll use your PAC Center. Can we use your PAC Center? Long-term deal. We'll invest in Grants Pass High and do stuff with you. And kind of went to this committee, and the committee said, no dice. Then we went to Three Rivers School District. That's this district. Said the same thing to them. We'll invest in, we don't want to be a parasite. We want to partner with you. So can we use Fruitdale for 20 years, and we'll start investing in Fruitdale? And they said, no, every year you got to re-up. So every year we have to go before the school board and say, can we have another year? So that kind of leaves us in a little bit of a tenuous situation. So then we went to New Hope Christian School. Said, New Hope, hey, here's what we want to do. But New Hope, we're just kind of, it was too much, I think, for New Hope. We're bigger. There's too many people here. We have a little bit different philosophy on ministry than they do. And we just started seeing, hey, we're going in two different directions. this probably won't be healthy for New Hope. So then that didn't work. So we left that. Then we went to our River Valley Community Church. And their church is for sale. And so we decided, we kind of went through some stuff. We said, hey, let's buy that church. And so I announced that to the congregation, whatever that was, 2 years ago. And everybody cheered. Not everybody, but some of you cheered. Yeah, RCC, or River Valley Community Church, RVCC. Yeah, okay. And then whatever, 4 months later, I had to announce, we're not going to buy River Valley Community Church after all. And then people cheered. Yay, we're not buying it. Yeah. And my wife's like, what's up with the church, man? Are they schizophrenic? What's the deal? I'm like, I don't know. So that's kind of where we went. Once our River Valley Community Church didn't work, this is what we did. Perhaps you remember that. We said, okay, we're taking a day, and we're going to fast and pray. And we're going to come together on a Wednesday night, and we're going to pray corporately as a church over this thing, and then we're going to break our fast with the sin of gluttony. And so we did that on a Wednesday. Out of that came the two possibilities. First was to work with Calvary Church. It sounded like that might be a possibility. So I went and met with the pastors at Calvary Church, and we kind of talked through some stuff, where they're headed and where we're headed, and it just wasn't going to work. So that one was gone. The second thing was this. There was some property that the county was selling out on G Street. And we had looked at that property a year before. The price was about $1 million. Because of the economy, the price had dropped to about $500,000. And so we could afford that. We had saved up that amount of money. So we ended up purchasing some property out on G Street in September of 2008. So we bought that property, and we were just kind of sitting on it for a while. Now, that property is good property. But what we noticed as we began to work on it was there's a couple of issues with it. Here they are. First is this. That property is in a neighborhood. And so you have people that have bought their dream home around that acreage. And most people would be upset if a giant church moved into their neighborhood. Right? That's not what they want. There's nothing happy about having a 1,000 or so people descend on their neighborhood a couple times a week. So that was going to be upsetting. Now, they may have liked us for a little while, like during the construction stage. They can borrow a 2x4 at night or some nails, bag of Quikrete. Because of the mess, their in-laws might not visit. So there might be a period where they're like, yeah, I love you guys. But eventually, you have 1,000 people showing up on weekends when they're trying to do their thing, when they're at home, or at nights when they're at home. They're just not going to like us. So we would not have the opportunity to be a good neighbor there. So that was kind of problem number one, and that's not something that I am excited about doing because we live in Grants Pass, a small community, word gets out. So that was always an issue. Second issue was this. I don't care how conservative a church you have come from or you might belong to, if you grow above 120 people, there's going to be friction. There just will be friction. Ask the parking lot guys. They will tell you, hey, sir, you in the stretched Escalade. Can we get you to park over there? No, I'm parking right here, okay? Merry Christmas. Thank you. God bless you. It happens. I'm honestly, getting out of the church parking lot is the easiest way to get church out of you. Like, did he just do that, honey? I'm getting him. It's amazing. G Street property, here's the problem with G Street property. Getting in and out of G Street property was going to be difficult. It would make the Pope sin. That's how bad it is. I mean, it was tough getting in and out of there. There was one exit out on G Street, no turning lane. It would have been tough. It would have been trying for our patience. So those are two big issues. The city began to say, what are you guys planning on doing there? And so they were a little iffy about it because of G Street and kind of the stuff, the plans they have for G Street. So we started to add this stuff up, and we started to think, okay, interesting. Well, here's where things get, here's the Luke thing to me, where God's like playing Legos a little bit. Because let me take you on a little journey, because this to me is fascinating, how God worked this thing out. That's 2009 to me is God playing Legos with Grants Pass. So perhaps you remember this summer, the city council. The recall city council, do you remember them? For a while, it seemed like a pack of pit bulls had been released into a nursery. It's just brutal. You're like, oh, man, every day do we have to hear more of this? I love that city council. Love them. Why? They changed a law that changed everything for us. Prior to June of 2009, churches could not build in industrial land. Did you know that? So there's these huge tracts of land in Grants Pass that have been set aside, either business park or industrial land. Churches cannot go in there. And so there were just chunks of land that were set aside. Well, June of 2009, the city council was asked the question, should we change that law to allow churches to build in industrial land? The city managers group said, don't do it. Don't mess it up. Don't let churches in there. Well, for some unknown reason, the city council said, we're doing it. I think it was just because they wanted to get Frazier. They're like, we'll show you, Frazier. Yes, that'll teach you. Whatever it was, I don't know. I'm like, thank God. All of a sudden, all this land opened up, specifically in Spalding Business Park. And here's what you got to know about Spalding Business Park. About 3.5 years ago, when it looked like Fruitdale was not going to be an option for us, because Fruitdale was kind of saying at that point, it was our first year here. We kind of came. They didn't know we were going to be this big. And they started saying, we're not sure about you. And so at the end of that year, they're like, we're not sure that we want you back here. So in that, it was about May of 2006, I started saying, well, okay, let's start looking at some property. The first piece of property I ever looked at, up on top of Spalding Business Park, I drove up there and I thought, man, this would be an awesome place to have a church. I would love to have a church up here. But I was told back then, no way. Industrial land. Churches cannot meet here. So I thought at that time, impossible. Well, June 2009, this looks like a possibility. But we had this problem. Guess what it was? We had G Street property already. So if you know real estate, right now is not the best time to sell property. Big chunks of land, they're not selling. So yeah, this looks like this great opportunity, but we've got this property and we don't have money to go buy something else unless we sell this property. Here's where it gets incredible. We had a buyer without advertising the day we offered the property. Boom. For the exact same amount, we sold that property for the same exact amount of money as the property up on Spalding Business Park. So it was just like, boom, we had the money, right like that. So we sold our G Street property, we don't own that anymore, and we bought property up on top of the Spalding Business Park. Now you might be saying, where is that at? Well, roll this clip. We have a little bit of footage to kind of show you the property. Google Maps. If you notice there, it has phenomenal views. You've got almost a 360 view of Grants Pass. So you end up you're looking kind of out towards Baldy Mountain, but then you can also swing over and kind of look onto the city of Grants Pass. It is phenomenal property. So we have that property, and it works out a lot better. Now, here's a couple of reasons why. It's an industrial land, not a neighborhood. That's good news. Because when we want to use it, which is mostly evenings for big stuff, evenings, weekends, nobody's there. They're at home in their neighborhood where we were going to be. So they're not there anymore. Noise is not an issue in an industrial zone. That's what they do in industrial zones. They make lots of noise. So there's not going to be people complaining about, hey, the music's too loud on a Sunday morning. Nobody's there. It's empty. On top of that, traffic's not a problem. They are used to traffic problems. Jackknife semis, unloading, all that kind of stuff. It's just perfect. When we want to be there, there's no traffic there. There's nothing. And there's multiple ways to get out of that property. So you can get down. Every dream that we have can be fulfilled up there. So on top of that, you know, industrial zones, it's full of, like, men with mohawks and tattoos. So we'll just add a few more. It'll be perfect. Perfect. And no problem. We will fit right in. So that's where we're at right now. We've got this property. So here's the plans. I know this. I know that I'm young and that I tend to joke a bit. So whenever I meet with an older gentleman, he's always like, start asking me, like, what are you doing with your plans? What are you doing with this? And they try to give me advice on plans. Because I think most people think of this when it comes to planning the church, like what we're going to build and what we're going to do. It's like Mark and I with some crayons in our office. Yeah. Motorcycle track right here. Woo! Ah. I think that's what most people think. That's not how it works, okay? We've hired professionals that are, they're taking care of all that. I'm completely out of that loop. I'm not designing anything. I've kind of told them, hey, this is what I want. This is what I'd like to see. This is what we want to use it for. And so we have some professionals that are doing some design work. We have a couple pictures of that. You can show those pictures. Just to show you that it's not crayons. That's what it's going to look like. There's the blueprint. Okay. So, yeah, you can clap. I don't mind that. Here's what you've got to know about this. It's not for us. It's not the big church meeting. We're not building something that big. It's about, I think it's 7,500 square feet. I don't have that exact number on my, it's 7,000 square feet or something kind of in that neighborhood. Here's what it's going to be used for. It's going to be used for our midweek high school group. If you've been tracking with Edgewater for a while, our high school group is just doing phenomenally well. It's impacting our community. And I read this book a while back. It's by Christian Smith. If you like kids ministry at all, read that book. It's a phenomenal book. In it, it's called Soul Searching. Phenomenal book. What he says is this. For kids that keep the faith, that do well after they get out of the house, he said there are two key factors in that. First, your family, your parents. That is number one. That's far and away. Do I live what I say? Or am I making this thing up? Am I a hypocrite? Kids, they have a hypocrisy radar. Do you know that? You will not fool your kids for long. They'll eventually figure out he's lying. So do the parents really live what they say, number one? Number two, the number two factor was youth group. Is there a strong youth group that they can be involved with? Peers that are headed in the right direction. People that they can admire and say, I want to be like them. Those are the two things. Now, I am stoked that Edgewater has phenomenal families that are living their faith. They're on mission. They're doing it right. That just stokes me out. But, what do you say to the 14-year-old girl that doesn't have any of that? What do you say to the 16-year-old boy that has every disadvantage in the world? Well, sorry about that. Too bad. No way. So we want to invest in this next generation. We want to invest in high schoolers. We want to get them now before they get too far away. We don't want to pick up the mess at the bottom of the rapids. We want to get above the rapids and say, hey, here's how you navigate that thing. Here's how you do it. We want a war for this generation of young people. So we're going to have this. The facility is really designed around a midweek high school group because right now they're nomadic. They're kind of moving all over. They met in the park this summer. They met in the flower building when the psychic fair wasn't meeting there over at the fair. So they're sharing it with the psychic fair. Wonderful. Hopefully they don't show up on the wrong day, you know, at the psychic. What is this, man? This is some kind of youth group. Praise God. So we're saying, hey, we're going to invest in that. So that's part of the deal. On top of that, I want to do Saturday seminars or Friday evening seminars. Or something where you can take a block of time and go over some subject. Parenting, marriage, finances, how to study the Bible for yourself. And right now we just can't do that. We can't do those things. This will allow us to do those things. On a Saturday morning, we can just say, hey, sign up for this if you want to. It'll be free. Come out. We are just going to go for whatever, 2-3 hours on one subject. Some breaks in there, obviously. But really get this thing down. Equip you to be good parents or whatever it is. I'd love to do, I'm going to call them, how now? Okay, how do we live now? We live in this culture that is bombarding us with certain ideas. How do we process those, and how do we live in this culture, especially young people? I'd like to do some frank discussions with young people. You're going to face this. Questions on sex, you're getting it right now from YouTube. You can't protect them anymore. So let's have a good discussion. How did God design sex? What is it designed for? Why is homosexuality wrong? Those kind of questions, because they're going to face those things. So what's this thing called design? How was I designed as a woman? How was I designed as a man? How does that stuff, how does it all work together? I'd love to do that. And then have like question and answer afterwards. Just a real, frank, open dialogue on those kind of things. So we'll use it for those kind of things. we want to do it like a Friday night, like our Friday night. We want to have some kind of bands come in, like for young adults. Because I think Grants Pass, and I think Edgewater more than anything, Edgewater, we have not done well with young adults. So after high school, we're like, all right, good luck to you. 18, well, something happened between 17 years old, 364 days, and 17-year-old, 365 days. Good luck. See ya. There's your suitcase. Bought it for your graduation gift. Go. So we want to say, well, we want to kind of help that area as well and undergird that as well. So we'll use it for those kind of things. I'd like to give it for one day to homeschoolers, just the entire facility. Here's the facility for homeschoolers. So if you're a homeschooling mom or a family, we are giving you the church building. Take it. Do what you want. Maybe it's Science Friday. You come, you get your family together or your kids together, and you all do science experiments together. Like, will Matt's motorcycle burn? That'd be my wife's experiment. Can I burn that thing? Keep him from sinning? So, you know, just kind of give a place where homeschoolers can kind of come together and meet other families that are doing the same thing and get encouragement in that direction. We can do weddings and funerals there. Like right now, we can't really do weddings and funerals. I have people say, hey, would you do my wedding? I'll say, sure. You got to find a building. Because good luck. Our office will seat approximately 7 people. So you could seat your bridesmaid and half of your groomsmen, all right? And that's it. So we just can't say that. And on the funeral side, that's the one that really gets me. Because that's the time that as a church, I want to just wrap my hands around them and say, we will do, everything's taken care of. Don't worry about details. And we will take care of everything. You just come. We'll do as much. We can't do that right now. We're like, well, Riverside Park, does that work for you? So that will help out as well. We have lots of ideas on it. Okay, so here's where we're at. We have submitted plans to the city. The stuff you saw up there, it's been submitted. It's through the planning department, which I've been told is the hardest one. So we are all through that. It's now been given to the building department, and they're doing whatever they do. I don't know exactly what they do, but the building department now has the plans. And according to the guys that are doing this, they think we will be breaking ground in about 2 weeks. Yeah. So we're moving forward as quickly as we can. We plan on being open in May. So that's the whole thing. So let me answer some questions. I know this is one of the questions. Why aren't we going bigger? Why are we just doing a small thing and it's not for the Sunday, Wednesday crowd? Why aren't we going bigger? Simple. We do not have $2 million. If you have $2 million, I'll gladly be wrong again. Right? I'll plan. God can laugh again. No problem. It's simply financial. We do have an option there. We have, I think it's close to 4 acres. We have an option to buy another about 8 acres, and we have that locked up. If down the road we decide, hey, we want to build something bigger, we have that land locked up. We could do everything we want to do there for Sunday, Wednesday, whatever, with the additional property. So it's all there if we want to. It's available, great, wonderful land. But right now we're limited financially. There's no way that we can do something like that. So that's why we're going the size that we're going. So here's the bottom line. We need some money. It's that simple. It's about the bill I've seen is about $700,000. We have about $250,000 saved up. We've been saving up our money. We have tightened our belts. We didn't get any raises this year. We've cut every budget we possibly can cut. You can ask the pastors, you can ask people. We've been cutting, trying to save money. And we've been saving money. We've been real frugal. I don't think we're extravagant. We're meeting in a middle school gym, you know, elementary school gym, wherever we're meeting. We're meeting here. And it's not that expensive. So we took away Saturday. Like Saturday night was a fun service for us. We took away Saturday in order to save $2,000 a month. So we're trying to, as much as possible, shrink things down, save money. But the fact of the matter is, it's expensive to build, and it costs money, and that's where we're at. And this is our fundraiser. If you're new to Edgewater, this is our fundraiser. I'm just saying we need money. That's it. There will be no thermometer up here. I will not come up and add a line to it every once in a while. I won't tell you what you can and cannot drink. I won't tell you, hey, if you will just take one shower a week, you'll save $5. You can give that to us. If you'll just brush your teeth at night and not in the morning, you'll save toothpaste. Give us the money. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to ask you to pray, see what God would lead you to do. obviously get tax deduction, all those kind of things. Pray. See if you want to partner with God. God opened a door that I thought was shut like Fort Knox. Cannot believe that the property that I went up to almost 4 years ago, God said, that's going to be it. That's going to be it. So now we partner. Say, Lord, should I partner with Edgewater on this? Is this my family? Because this is a family project. Is this the family that I'm going to dive into? So I just ask you to pray about it because we need finances. So first order of business, property. Second order of business is this. I had an idea, and this was right at the beginning of Edgewater. I don't know how long. I was trying to go back in my notes. I think I'd been pastoring at Edgewater for about 6 months. So it was in the spring of 2006. I was studying through the book of John. For some reason, I had this idea that I shared with the elders and the pastors, and I shared it, and this was it. I said, what if we bought 100 acres and started an organic farm to disciple people, to help people that are coming off drugs, a sanctuary of sorts, get them away from stuff that's going to detract from what God's trying to do in their life. Just separate them out and do something cool like that. Now, remember, I've been a pastor at Edgewater for just months. And so the elders and pastors are looking at me like, what? Huh? Impeach him. At least give him a drug test, you know, minimally. Well, what happens? We prayed about that and it started to germinate. And we actually began to look and we shared this about, I don't know what it is now, 3.5 years ago with the congregation. And there was real excitement about it. So we started looking at property. And it was just back 3.5 years ago, that's boom time for property. We looked at property that cost $2 million, one of them. And it was just like, financially, we just can't swing this thing. So you buy the property, but we couldn't do anything with it. We couldn't buy any equipment. We couldn't put a dwelling place on there. We just couldn't do it. So we kind of shelved that thing. Well, it popped out of the ground again. And in April of 2009, we had an organization that they had this big chunk of land on the Rogue River. It's down by Finley Bend, just unbelievably beautiful chunk of property. Organic farm, everything you could want. Gorgeous land. And they said, well, we'd like to do something with it ministry-wise. So we've been in a dialogue with them since April. Well, just a week ago, we have this lease now from them that it appears we'll get that property for years and years and years for free. So it's phenomenal to me. Yeah. So I think we have some pictures of that as well. You can show the pictures. So you can see there's a little bit of work that needs to be done out there. We got to get that tractor fixed. But here's our plan. We plan on putting a crop of whatever we're going to grow. We're going to try to grow something that makes that thing eventually self-sufficient, where whatever's grown there pays for everything. Now, that's going to take a little while because you can see that farmhouse needs some work. It started being turned into a bunkhouse. Like one section has already been kind of laid out for a bunch of individual rooms. So guys can have their own room or whatever and probably have some. It just takes, there's going to be some work out there. But it's a great opportunity for ministry. So if you are someone that says, man, I'd love to train some guys. I've got some skills. We want to use this facility for that. So if you have somebody that can weld, then we want to have like a welding class maybe once a month. You come out and show some young men how to weld. If you know how to use computers, we want to try to get like so computers that people don't use anymore, donate it, have a computer lab out there so you can learn basic word processing skills or computer skills. If you know how to, I don't care what it is, I'd like to use this as a place where we can take young men, young women off the street, put them out there for a while, probably 18 to 24 months, and just disciple them, teach them Bible studies, teach them good hard work, feed them really well, and then after that point, you know, send them back into the community to shine Christ's light. So just I think personally, for me, this is a community changer. If this thing works right, if we get the right pieces in there, if God blesses this thing, it's a community changer. You can take people, get them free from addiction, pour God's word into them, and send them back as missionaries into Grants Pass or wherever they're from. So I am so stoked on this thing. pray. It's amazing to me. 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it is, boom, it comes back up. It looks like it's going to be something that happens. So that's the form. Thirdly, missions. The Bible has a simple command to us. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Have you heard that one before? That's our command. And so we want to be a church that goes into the world and shares the gospel. We have worked so far in two countries for the most part. India, Uganda, pretty much that's been in Africa. We've seen in 2009, God start to expanding our borders and where we're moving into. So we sent a group to Haiti. They went to Haiti because we're looking at, it's not an orphanage. It's more of, it's a really neat ministry where they have a family, essentially, a husband and wife that adopt, they kind of adopt 12 kids. And those 12 kids are their kids. They don't move out of that. They stay with them for the duration till they're 18. And then they keep having that family. So if they get married, it would be that dad that would walk the gal down the aisle or whatever. So it's their family, really. It's a really cool ministry in Haiti. So we sent a group there. They kind of check things out. We're right now trying to figure out, okay, is that where God has us? Is this what we're going to do? And so we're praying about that. So it looks like we will be working in Haiti with orphans. That's the first thing, kind of expansion. Second expansion was this. Jason Folkstad went down to Brazil, and he got back a couple of weeks ago, worked with a great couple down there that are doing incredible mission work. There's lots of opportunity down there. Like if you want to battle an anaconda, boom, Brazil is your cup of tea. Crazy. So he went down there. This group wants to minister to the poor of the Indians that live up these little offshoots of the Amazon River. But they're not little. Like I say little, they're these massive rivers, and they're just offshoots of the Amazon. So they're back up these things, and you got a boat up there, and you go into these cool little villages. It's awesome. Awesome stuff. I'd like to go down there. So that's happening. But here's the one I want to focus on. Last year, my family and myself, obviously we went to India, and it was great. It was so good to go to India as a family and see what God does. And I'd love for every family in Edgewater that desires that to be able to do it. Problem is this. India is very, very expensive to get there. Once you're there, it's cheap, but plane tickets are astronomically high. So you have this big expense to get there. Most people cannot afford that. So what we've been looking for is where can we do that closer? So we had a group that went down to the San Quintin Valley. It's in Baja of Mexico. It's a very poor area in Mexico, but it's only about, it's under 100 miles south of San Diego. So it's accessible. You can get there. And actually, I did missionary work in San Quintin back in 1997. Learned a lot that time. And here's how it went. I was with Jim Wright. He's a pastor in Medford right now. If you know Jim Wright, this will make 100% sense. So we go down there and we have this bus. It's called the Stinky Twinkie. It's a big yellow thing. And it did stink because there's 20 guys on it. And then on top of it, we had all these bags, these big trash bags of clothes, probably about 40 trash bags of clothes just tied on top. And our plan was this, to go into San Quintin and go to a village. It's very poor there. And then give away the clothes. And it sounds great. Wonderful. So we pull up to the first village. We spread out this blue tarp, and Jim is telling us what to do. He says, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to throw about 8 bags down. We're going to open the bags, have this pile of clothes. And then when the villagers come out, you'll just ask them, what would you like? Here's the problem. None of us speak Spanish. That's just a detail, though. Don't worry about it. You'll figure it out. So news spreads in this village. We have 100 people waiting for clothes. So we throw the bags down. We open up. We have this big pile of clothing. I'm there. I asked this lady. I said, lady, what can I get for you? She says something. I'm like, no comprende? So she starts pointing. But you're pointing at a pile of clothes. I'm like, this? No. This? No. This? No. So she just comes over and she grabs what she wants. She looks at me. She grabs something else she wants. Looks at me. I'm like, oh, no. She just grabbed an armful of stuff and just took off with it. Well, the rest of the crew saw that. It was a full-on riot. I mean, they just mobbed us. They were grabbing my shirt. Like, I want that shirt. No, it's my favorite shirt. I'm like, all right, take it. Go. We had guys climbing up the side of the van, pulling off new bags. You know what Jim, our fearless leader, did? I'm trying to control the thing. I'm like, wait. But all I know in Spanish is how to order a taco and how to ask to go to the bathroom. Don't eat a sal baño, por favor. Didn't help. So it's just chaos. Just a Jim Wright chaos. You know what Jim did? He got on the bus and drove away. I mean, hands down, we're sitting there like, what are you doing? He's leaving. We're like running after him. There's a few guys we missed. We haven't seen him since. They're half naked in Ensenada to this day. What we learned was this. You just don't go do your own thing. That's dangerous. It's just not smart. So there's a group of churches that this organization is overseen in San Quintin. Just wonderful pastors, very ordered, very safe, very well run, that they're saying, hey, we've got as much ministry opportunity as you want. And we know how to do it. We live here. It's indigenous pastors. It's not somebody just coming in with wild ideas that are going to go strange and someone's going to get killed. This is better. It's safe, and it's very accessible. So I'm excited about this. I want to take my family on it. Because here's what kids need to be exposed to. They need to be exposed to missions for a number of reasons. Number one, it's God's command to us. But even more important than that, it's this. They need to see how most of the world lives. They need to understand that it's not the end of the world because they didn't get a mechanical gerbil for Christmas. Those things are stupid anyways. I mean, who in the world would want one? Sorry. It's a rat, for crying out loud. A colorful rat. So they need to know that. They need to get outside the gates of Camelot and see, man, we are so blessed. So blessed. How can we not be thankful? How can we not have gratitude? So I am excited about that. So be looking forward to this kind of, we're able to do some missions, hopefully, where it's family friendly. You take your whole family for relatively inexpensive. It's essentially the gas down, gas back, and food. That's it. And just do ministry. See God work. See miracles happen. So I'm really excited about that in missions, but there's lots of stuff in missions. We have a high school group that's going to Africa. They went to India last year. We have a group going to India, a group of men going to India. So there's lots of stuff coming up. Keep tuned. The mission stuff is exploding for us. Okay. Fourthly, we have starting the January 15th, we have a new Bible study that I'm really excited about. It's called The Journey, and it's just for men. Here's the reason why. What we're going to do is we're going to just study the Bible and talk about men's stuff. So here's what I found. I talked to a lot of young men, and here's what's real sad to me about our society, about our culture. Most young men, they learn about loyalty not from their dad but from their dog. That's the truth. Most dads are gone. They haven't been loyal. And so because of that, they're a photocopy of a bad photocopy, which is a bad photocopy of a bad photocopy. So down the road, now where they're at, they make dumb decisions, not because they're dumb, just because that's what they've seen. That's the photocopy that they've seen. And it's sad to me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take this time. It's Friday. It's at our office, 6:30. That's in the morning, because you got to get up to get wisdom. And we're going to study through the book of Proverbs. Just basic, here is wisdom. Here is how life is to be lived. Here's the wisest man in the world given godly wisdom, instructing us, this is how you live. So men, I am inviting you to this. Come, get wisdom. Chapter 1, that's exactly what it says. Come and get wisdom. It's out there. It's like fruit. Pick it. Eat it. Live correctly. So I'm really excited about that. That's starting January 15th, 6:30 a.m., which is Friday at our office. Number five, Women's Monday. We've had this Women's Monday ministry thing that started in June. We're expanding it. So now it's going to be, whenever the office is open, there is going to be a gal there that's going to be able to meet gal kind of stuff. So if there's something you want to discuss, you're like, I don't really want to talk to a guy. I don't really want to talk to Matt about this. He'll probably use it in a message, so I definitely am not going to talk to him about it. Who can I talk to? So we'll have a gal there that will be specifically for those kind of things whenever the office is open. So that's kind of the expansion of that. I think that's a great thing. Sixthly, we have some new home groups. There's a handout in your bulletin. I want us to be plugged into home groups because here's what I think is going to happen. I think technology, the way that I see it, is not going to connect people. It's going to disconnect people. And I gave a message on this back in October where I talked about how you can see technology doing that. Like the TV, what the TV did was, air conditioning and TV, what it did was this. It took the family out of the community and stuck them inside. It used to be people were out in their neighborhoods talking and walking. Now you have TV, why would I do that? So the family, or the TV took the family out of the community. But here's what the internet and chat rooms and Twitter and all that kind of stuff has done. You know what it's done? It's now taking the individual out of the family. You don't have to be with your family. You can be at dinner talking with people across the globe, not even talking to the people that are sitting there at table. So I don't think technology is going to connect us any better. I think it's near the opposite. So I think as a church, we have to really demonstrate what community is. And if you don't believe me on this, just let me give you one example. Look at the architecture of a home. It has turned its back on community. Homes that were built 100 years ago had massive front porches on them, no back porch. Now you look at the homes, drive in a nice neighborhood, 3,000 square foot home, has a little dinky porch on the front of it. They look ridiculous. I mean, they just look goofy. It's enough room for two Mormon missionaries, and that's it. There it is. But you go to the back of that home, guess what? 400, 500 square foot deck. Big 8-foot fence all around it. Homes have literally turned their back on community. So we need to be demonstrating what community is. So I want you to really pray about, look over that list, get plugged in to a home group. That's where there is just security, and there's prayer there, and there's companionship. There's everything that we're to be as the church, plugged in. So plug in, find one, plug in, contribute to it. Finally, it's this. I know I've gone long. I'll hear about it on the internet, I'm sure. The vision of Edgewater is this, is to equip and enable individuals for ministry. That's something that I wrote down, once again, early days of Edgewater Christian Fellowship. It's from Ephesians 4:16, where the Bible just says this. When each part of the body is plugged in and doing what they're supposed to do in the right spot, not the foot on top of the head, but each part where it's supposed to be contributing, the whole body grows and is strong. And that's what we want here. You in the right spot where you contribute and do what God has designed you to do. And so that's been our thing. Now, we haven't been the best at equipping or enabling. That's been our bad. We have a new website that's going to be coming out shortly. And on that website, part of it will be this. It's going to list every single ministry that we have at Edgewater, what it's doing currently, who to contact if you want to be involved in it. So it's going to be, I call it ministry maps. So if you like missions, here's how you do it. If you like working with the retirement homes around here, here's how to do it. Whatever it is, there's about, I think, 25 or 30 of them. We're just going to list them out, and here's what they're currently doing, and here's who to contact if you want to be involved in it. So we have a very low bar if you want to be involved at Edgewater and plugging in. So that's coming shortly. Right now, what we have is this. It's called Finding Your Lane, and it kind of lists out some stuff. So if you're kind of wondering, how do I get involved at Edgewater, there's a brochure back on our information desk. It's called Finding Your Lane. It kind of lists it out. You can fill it out. One of the pastors or somebody at Edgewater will contact you and try to get you plugged in. Finally, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be the pastor here. I feel like just the most blessed guy ever. I just feel like I have the best job. You're the best church. You're generous and loving. I can't tell you how many times I'll be in town and talking with somebody, and they'll find out what I do, and I try to avoid that, try not to answer that question, but it always comes up. And they'll find out what I do, and they'll just say, I know someone that goes to your church, and they are just the most loving person. That just stokes me out. I just want to hug them and kiss them. I don't. One of these times I'm going to. But it just blesses me. I just feel like, are you kidding? God, I get to do this? I can't believe it. I have the best church ever. So I just want to thank you for a great 2009, and I'm looking forward to an amazing 2010. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me, grab the person's hand next to you, and we're going to pray, because here's what the Bible says. You've got Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says this, hey, don't trust in your own understanding. Don't trust what you know, because man plans and God laughs. Instead, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Just acknowledge, hey, Lord, this is what I'd like to do, and this is what I have on my heart. And acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he shall what? Direct your paths. So that's what we want to do. And so, Lord, we've got plans and we've got ideas for 2010, Lord, corporately as a church, but also individually, Lord, what you placed on our hearts. And so, Lord, we as a community of believers, we this morning agree together and just ask, Lord, that you would direct our paths. We want to be in your will. We want to be doing things that are pleasing to you and building the kingdom. And so, Lord, we put the building and the property in your hands. And just pray, Lord, that if you want to shut a door, then shut it. Lord, we put the farm in your hands and, And yes, there's excitement. I think there's great ministry possibility. But Lord, we want to do what you desire us to do. So Lord, we put that in your hands. Open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that we cannot open. For missions, Lord. We know the Great Commission, and it's our heart's desire as a church to be fulfilling the words of Christ. And Lord, direct us where we can be most beneficial for your kingdom and for your glory. For the Bible studies and the women's group and for home groups. And Lord, use those. Lord, I pray for leadership as they're diligently leading those groups and tending your flock. Lord, I pray that they would not grow weary in well-doing, but they would know that there's a reward for those that labor for you. So reward them, good measure, pressed over. Lord, do that today for them. Lord, I just pray for each one of us as we think about 2010. I pray that it would be exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think, simply because we put our faith in you, and you're our Father that wants to bless us. So continue to bless Edgewater. Continue to bless the individual saints of Edgewater, because you're a good God. So go with us this day, Lord. May we have a wonderful new year. May we have a wonderful week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.